bless you, everybody. Great to see you. I see a lot of people that are hungry for God in this room tonight. Amen. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a praise. Amen. And we want to thank the worship team for just leading us to the Lord, just riding those waves of his presence with just a great deal of sensitivity. Amen. Amen. I want to share for a few minutes on this subject. His bride has made herself ready. His bride has made herself ready. But just before we do that, before we look into the word together, I want to ask you to stand and let's just pray. Let's just pray for receptive hearts to God's word. Would you just put your hand over your heart tonight? And just pray this. Say, Lord, here's my heart. Touch my heart. Make my heart good soil. Make my heart ready to receive the seed of God's word and let it bear good fruit in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead and be seated. And we're going to look into the word of God. I'm going to begin to read with Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. Revelation 19, verse 1. And we'll have the words on the screen for you. The Apostle John says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Let me pause there. The Apostle John is painting us a scene that mixes destruction and glory together. We don't have time to go into it, but in the previous chapter, John has just seen God's judgment on the city of Babylon, which he calls the great harlot or prostitute. Babylon symbolizes the world system at the end of the age, full of greed, carnality, false religion, and the occult. Babylon is very diverse, but its people are united by their opposition to God. Babylon persecutes the people of God, so God judges her in such a way that no one will ever live there again. Now, we do need to understand those things, but tonight we're focusing on things that are more pleasant. Moving on to verse 5, John says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he, the angel, said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. We live in a time of increasing conflict between darkness and light. It's also a time of increasing contrasts. The darkness is growing worse, but the light is becoming more glorious. The Bible predicts this great contrast between darkness and light at the end of the age. If it isn't already obvious, soon enough it will be easy to discern who is on their way to the marriage supper of the Lamb and whose hearts are longing for Babylon. Babylon is filled with people who were deceived by her, but church, they became accustomed to her over time. They grew to love her. They imitate her ways and they embrace her atmosphere. But God has a people too. God has a people whom he's calling to become the eternal companion for his son. These people are devoted to Jesus, and he's their first love. They imitate him. They walk in the ways of the kingdom, moving and ministering as the Holy Spirit leads. They long for the atmosphere of heaven. Their soul longs to be in places that are spiritually clean and refreshing, places of worship, places of encouraging fellowship, homes that are full of joy and peace. If that describes you, then I hope you can see here in Revelation 19 a call to make ourselves ready. God is calling us to prepare ourselves for the greater measures of Holy Spirit presence and power that he wants to send us. Now, church, listen, we can't cause revival to happen. Do you know that? We can't produce an outpouring of the Spirit. And we should never try to manufacture spiritual experiences for people. But I do believe we can cooperate with the Lord to become a more fit dwelling place for his presence. Our hearts are the temple of the Holy Spirit already. That is true. But I believe our hearts can become a more suitable temple for his presence, a place where the Spirit of God is truly welcomed and honored. Scripture encourages us. I saw it before when we were in our soaking time in the 6 o'clock hour. Scripture encourages us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Listen, get this. I believe that hunger is a sign that food exists. If there were no such thing as food, you would never be hungry. So if you are feeling hungry tonight for more of God, that very hunger itself is a sign of God's grace. He is the one causing you to be hungry for more of him, not so you can be frustrated in your quest, but so that you can be filled. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And God says in Isaiah, I love this, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. He doesn't say, I will give water to those who crawl through the desert looking for it. He just sees your thirst. And when he sees your thirst, he begins to pour himself out on you. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. If you feel dry tonight, God has a flood for you. I will pour my spirit. Are you worried about your kids? He says, I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. So no, we can't make Holy Spirit outpourings happen, but we can become increasingly thirsty and seek him more and more and more so that he will come and pour the rain of his Spirit upon us. He says in Hosea, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Although we can't create revivals, I heard one preacher, a friend of mine, say recently, repentance precedes revival, and revival precedes repentance. That's a good word right there, isn't it? Instead of being trapped in a vicious cycle of sin, why not make a virtuous cycle, a cycle of repentance and refreshing and unity and revival? See, each one of those things can feed the others. Each one will propel the others along and propel us into greater measures of the blessing that God desires to command for us. Do you know that the scripture says that? We were singing and praying about unity. Psalm 133 talks about that unity in God and says, for there, where? In the place of unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. I want to be in that realm of the commanded blessing, because if God commands a blessing, guess what? Are we ready for God to visit us? See, God wants to reveal himself in a greater way, but are we ready for it? See, whenever God wanted to visit his people, he told them to be ready to welcome him. In the book of Exodus, he told Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Tell them to wash their clothes, have them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people. God wants to do something that everyone will be able to see and no one will be able to deny. But he told Moses, before you're going to see that, you need to consecrate yourselves today and tomorrow and be ready for his visitation. Tonight we read that the Lord's wife, his bride, his companion, made herself ready. How will we make ourselves ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Now, I know here in Revelation 19, that's an end times thing. That's referring to the ultimate gathering of God and his people when Jesus comes again. But I want to tell you that these principles of preparation apply regardless, even to us today. We're to be busy about that business. How will we make ourselves ready for the visitation God wants to send upon us and send to our cities? How many of you live in a city or town that needs just a little bit of help? How will we get ready for the way that he wants to move in our church this year? How will we prepare for the fire that he wants to send to our nation? I'm going to share four quick thoughts from Revelation 19 about making ourselves ready, and then we're going to pray. Four quick thoughts on how we can make ourselves ready for the move of God's Spirit. The first one is this. Number one, love the Lamb. Love the Lamb. Verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife or his bride has made herself ready. The bride is his loving wife. Notice with me in the word that those who are making themselves ready for more of God are compared to a wife. A wife is someone who has been specially chosen and specially sought after. She in turn has a great love for the bridegroom. In fact, she has already said yes to him. There is a relationship that has been developed, that has been worked on. They have learned to communicate with each other, and over time, they have grown in intimacy. Now, I want to ask all the men to hang in there with me, because I know it can be hard at times for us to feel comfortable with the Bible's bridegroom imagery. We are on the other side of that equation, so to speak. But listen, if the ladies can always endure being called warriors and sons of God all the time, then I think we can try to view our relationship with Jesus from this angle tonight for just a few minutes. All right, guys? I was hoping for at least one deep voice, all right? You see, we're all called to love Jesus with this kind of devotion. According to Jesus, loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the greatest of God's commandments. A commitment to love God first and love him passionately will be absolutely necessary if we want to make ourselves fit dwelling places for his glory. In fact, you know, the first word of correction that Jesus gave in the book of Revelation was this word to the church at Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. We need to seek our hearts and see if we can honestly say that we still possess a strong first love kind of love. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Being compared to a wife also means, listen, also means an exclusive relationship with Christ. Not only must the love be strong, it must be a love without rivals. No one who is an outsider to the relationship can have a higher claim to our affections. That's a disaster for any earthly marriage, and it's a disaster for Christian people to let a rival into our relationship with Jesus. Faithfulness must be at the heart of any marriage, and those who are making themselves ready for more of God are compared to loving and faithful spouses. I also see that this bride is being wed, listen, to a lamb. It is interesting that the Bible gives us the picture of the marriage supper of the lamb. Did you ever notice that it's not the marriage supper of the lion? This tells us that the bride knows Jesus through his sacrifice and loves him for it. We understand Christ through what he has done for us on the cross. That's how we understand him and his love. And our love for him is fueled by gratitude for what he's done as the Lamb of God. Then we see that we're called as a bride to be glad and give him glory. We prepare our hearts for more of him by being glad, by rejoicing in him in all circumstances, by seeking to give him more glory through our worship, by living a life of joy. Do you know that a life of joy is a life that trusts, because it has overcome the anxiety that we're all subject to? We trust his leadership. And that enables us to let go of anxiety, and it inspires us to love him even more. We find that his companionship is enough in all circumstances. And leaning on him prepares our hearts, listen, prepares our hearts for the greater things that he wants to bring us into. So we first make ourselves ready by loving the Lamb. A second way we prepare for more of him is this, number two, live for the Lamb. In verse 8, John says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." We are called to live for the Lamb. Notice that fine linen was granted to her, symbolizing her righteous acts. Now, don't misunderstand this. This is not saying that we earn our salvation. Okay, there is no contradiction between this idea and contradiction between that and the rest of the scriptures. We receive righteousness from Jesus as a gift. In fact, it is the gift of his own righteousness. The Bible says that he who knew no sin was made to become sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. However, while Christ certainly gives us his righteousness, we are then called to obey his word and perform works of righteousness, works that he is preparing for us to do. Are you with me on that, friends? We don't do these works so we can be saved. We do them because we are saved. The truth of the matter is that actually we are his workmanship, created to do good works in Christ. And the bride makes herself ready for the presence of Christ through her commitment to obey him and to do his works. Jesus told the Ephesians, after he had said that they had left their first love, he said, "Repent and do the first works." We prepare our hearts for more of him by telling him that we want to live for him and serve him out of love for him. When we do that, he will send us out to labor, and we will bear good fruit instead of coming in from the harvest fields with nothing but sore backs and empty baskets. The voice from God's throne told John that those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, those who know this call, they walk this call, they are blessed. They see it as a blessing. Let's first love the Lamb, and second, let's live for the Lamb. Third thing to do to make yourself ready for the move of God, number three, is to live like the Lamb. live like the Lamb. John also saw that the linen was clean and bright. Clean and bright. This speaks of being bright with God's glory, and it speaks of purity, a purity that is obvious, that is visible. The Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 5 how Jesus wants to present us to himself as a glorious church. Listen, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We can prepare ourselves for him to move more deeply among us by determining in our hearts that we will remain, as James said, listen, unspotted from the world. Let us make ourselves ready that way. John saw the great contrast between Babylon and God's people, how the Bible tells us to get out of Babylon and avoid being caught in her judgments. Let's avoid the destruction and the heartbreak that Babylon's ways and Babylon's sins will bring into our lives and our homes. The injustice, the greed, the sexual sin, the dabbling in the occult and what the Bible calls pharmakeia or sorcery, which is drug use, the taking of mind-altering drugs. We want to repent before the Lord of the inroads that we have let the world make in our hearts, in our homes. You may not be engaging in the carnal sins of the Babylonians, but let me ask you, is your thinking still the thinking of the Babylonians? Are our minds renewed to seek God's ways and to seek God's solutions to things? I need to pause right here and pray before we finish even. Lord, we want our robes to be bright and clean. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to come and to help us see and remove any unclean spot. Lord, anything that's displeasing to you, any spot or wrinkle that is on our robes that keeps us from displaying your glory and reflecting your goodness, Lord, it has to go. How do we, as the companions of Christ, make ourselves ready for his coming to us the way that he wants to? We love the Lamb, we live for the Lamb, we live like the Lamb, and then finally, number four, we listen to the Lamb. We listen to the Lamb. And I hope somebody hears this tonight, because this is for a few people. In verse 9, John was told, listen, these are the true sayings of God. These are the true sayings of God. Obeying God and loving God will require that we listen to the Lamb, that we listen to his voice. Now, this angel, who was John's heavenly tour guide, we might say, was emphasizing to John that what we are reading here is the true word of God. So we mustn't listen to any of the false voices that are popular today, that are popular at the moment, who are contradicting what God is saying here. This is especially important for the younger people. Don't listen to voices that tell you that it is okay to embrace the ways of Babylon. That fornication is okay. Or that drug taking is okay. Because it's not. And it will destroy you. Don't be deceived by the deceptions of Babylon. Let God's word be your standard and your guide. Don't be deceived by voices. Listen, don't be deceived by voices that say, God approves of everybody and everything, no matter what it may be. No. Babylon will be judged for what she does and how she persecutes the saints. So don't let your soul be tied to her. This world isn't growing better and brighter forever and ever. You know what? It's only the kingdom of Christ that does that. The Bible says that of the increase of his government and his peace. There will be no end. So seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Only Christ can satisfy your soul. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We need to listen to what he says and receive the bread that he is giving us instead of the cup that Babylon is offering us tonight. The angel said that these are the true sayings of God. And just before we take some moments to seek him again, church, we have an invitation to friendship and fellowship with Jesus, pictured by the fact that he's calling us to his banquet and to a wedding celebration. I said at the outset that repentance comes before revival, and revival comes before repentance. Why? Because God looks upon our hearts and he looks upon our hunger. I believe that God will respond in a way of his choosing, in a time of his choosing, if we commit ourselves to love Jesus, live for Jesus, live like Jesus, and listen to Jesus. I want to invite you to come to these altars right now. If you want to repent and seek him, just begin to come. Just begin to come if you want to seek him for a whiter, brighter, more glorious robe. You can come. If you truly want to be clean before him, if you want to hear him say, well done, if you want to return to first love, if you want to begin to do first works once again, then you can begin to come right now. Come all the way up to the front if you're coming, and leave enough room for people that want to come behind. You can find a place to kneel. Just be conscious of who's around you. Friends, we want the Lord to look at our hearts and say, my bride is making herself ready. That's what we want Jesus to think. That's how we want Jesus to react and to respond when he sees our hearts. We want Jesus to be able to say of us, look at my bride. Look at my people making themselves ready for more of me, for more of Father's love, for more of Jesus' kindness, for more of the Spirit's fire. My bride is making herself ready. Come on and let's seek him together. Just before we pray anything, take space, take some time to just commune between you and the Lord. Lift your hands to him and just simply tell him that you want more of him, that you want to draw closer to him, that you want, maybe this applies to you, that you know that you need to be restored back into daily fellowship with him. You hear that, church? Daily fellowship with him. So band's just going to play in the background, and we're just going to take a couple of minutes, just you and him. Reach out to him and just tell him. We're not going to sing anything. We're just going to play. And just you do some business with the Lord and just tell him that you need him and you need to be closer to him. Thank you. Would you grant us that repentance, Lord? Holy Spirit, grant us the repentance that precedes revival. Grant us the repentance that precedes revival. Lord, send that anointing. Send that Elijah anointing, that John the Baptist anointing that compels us to remove every obstacle and prepare the way, to prepare the way of the Lord. Lord, prepare your way. Prepare the way, Lord. Remove every obstacle, Lord. Lord, take the boulders and the potholes out of the roads of my heart, out of the ways of my heart, so Jesus, that you can travel to me. So Jesus, that you can travel to our hearts, Lord, in your glory, in your glory, in your glory, Lord. Lord, do your deep work right now. Father, I pray that you break the power of shame in this house right now, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Father, grant repentance from the sins, Lord, that we have pushed so far into the closet, God, that sometimes we've even forgotten about them ourselves, Lord. The things that we don't dare confess to our friends and family, Lord, you know, you see it all. Lord, you were there when it happened, you saw. Give us grace, Lord God, to repent of those things, Lord, right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, give us repentance, Lord, from sexual sin, Lord. Give us repentance from bloodshed. Give us repentance, Lord God, from alcohol abuse and from drug abuse, Lord. Give us repentance, Lord. Soften our hearts, Lord God. Give us the grace, Lord God, to just give it to you so that you can cast it into your sea of forgetfulness, Lord. Lord, we repent, we repent. Those of us that have quenched the Holy Spirit, those of us that have quenched the Holy Spirit, those who have come into houses of worship, might be this house of worship, might be another house of worship, but you didn't come to see God, you came to criticize. You came to criticize what the pastor was doing, or you came to criticize that lady that was worshiping just a little too boisterously for you. The Lord wants to tenderize your heart to the move of His Spirit again. Lord, make us soft and sensitive to the voice of your Spirit, God. Make us soft and sensitive to the voice of your Spirit again. Lord, purify our hands, purify our lips, purify our hands, purify our eyes and our ears, Lord God. Purify our hearts, Lord. Purify our minds, Lord. Lord, do a deep work, Lord God. 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 Dredge. Just dredge it, Lord God. Just dredge it out, Lord God. Holy Spirit, you're so good. You're so tender in your love. Just let His love for you overcome the shame tonight. Listen, if you're feeling shame over what you've done, remember that the Word of God says, He says He's married to the backslider in heart. He still longs for your fellowship. He still longs for your companionship. He wants you restored. He hasn't come to give you a spanking. He's come to embrace you like a lost child who's returning home to the Father. His word says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Sing one more time. Lift your hands to him. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Please have your. Hallelujah. Come on, church, pray with me. Lord, I pray that you would turn our hearts tonight, that we would love the Lamb. God, that we would love the Lamb. God, that you would bring us back to first love. God, that you would bring us back to our exclusive love for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want you to be our exclusive love. Lord, that there would be no rival that could approach the love that we have for you, Lord. Lord, that we would set you far above, that we would set you far above as you deserve, Lord God. Lord, forgive us for putting any rivals above you, Lord God, anything to challenge you, Lord God. Lord, your church, your people, we want to be a faithful bride, Lord God. We want to be faithful and exclusively in love with you, Lord Jesus. Exclusively in love with you, Lord. Lord, to love you with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, and with all the strength, Lord God. Lord, help us to put down the lesser loves, Lord God. Lord, the hobbies that we don't need anymore, God. Help us to spend time at your feet in worship and in love and in adoration, God. Lord, make us a faithful people. Give us the faithfulness, Lord, that we need to stand for you in this hour, Lord God. Make us faithful, faithful, because God, you are faithful and true, and you desire a people that is faithful and true as you are faithful and true, Lord God. So turn our affections, God. Turn our affections to you. Turn our hearts, Lord God. Lord, like streams, turn our hearts, the streams of our affection towards you, Jesus. Lord, and away from things that don't matter, from things that are temporary, God. Turn the streams of my heart to you, Lord God. Turn the flows of my heart in the direction of you and your throne, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, help us to live for you. Holy Spirit, help us to live for the Lamb. Lord, that we would do those works of righteousness, God, that you have appointed for us to do. God, I pray for everyone in this room, God, who's hesitating about the call to ministry that God has put upon their heart. I pray that you would help them to overcome and step out in faith and believe you, God, to begin to step out and do the works of righteousness that you've called them to do. God, I pray that you would raise out of this house apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and every kind of gift and every kind of ministry, God. Lord, we want to do the first works. We want to do the works once again that are motivated by love, that are motivated by love of you, Jesus. Doing the first works. And Lord, help us to live like the Lamb, like you. God, that our robes would be without spot and wrinkle, that they would be clean and bright. God, that you would give us grace, Lord, to avoid the sins and avoid the ways of Babylon, to avoid longing for those things, God. Help us to no longer long for those things that we laid down, to keep them there where we laid them down at the cross, Father. Grace to walk away. Somebody needs grace to walk away tonight from the bottle. Somebody needs grace to walk away tonight from the bottle. Come on, if that's you, put that bottle down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if that's you, if you're brave enough to repent of that before others, God will give you grace. You could come right here to where I am and we'll pray for you. God will break the grip of that thing off you. In the name of Jesus, God, give grace to walk away from drugs tonight. Give grace to walk away from pornography and sex addiction tonight. Grace, Lord God. Lord, grace to walk away from a critical spirit. Grace to walk away from that spirit that doesn't trust leadership, that has to criticize every day. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, help us to listen to the Lamb. Help us, Lord, to rededicate ourselves to your word, Lord, to what your word says, to obey you in what your word not asks but requires of us as the people of God, to live holy, Lord, and to feast upon your word. Lord, give us a heart like David, who said that your statutes had been his meditation day and night. God, help us. God, we so gotta move back in that direction, God, because we've been meditating on everything, Lord. We know every episode of every show and every minor character, Lord, some of us, of some of these shows, but we don't know who Mephibosheth was, Lord God. Lord, we wanna be masters of your word, Lord God. Not just masters of movies and masters of TV, Lord. We want to sow to the Spirit and sow to your word. Let your word have its perfect work in us and transform our thinking so that we're not confused all the time anymore, so that we're not strong one day and weaklings the next, Lord, because we fed upon the living bread of Jesus' word. Come on, agree with me in that. Say, Lord, we rededicate ourselves to your word, to read it, to study it, to memorize it, to walk in it with your help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give him praise.